chance to have a dream, to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to the Rise Up Podcast. I am your host, Mark Dick, and this is the show about bakers and bakeries and bakery owners and all the folks that work so hard, often through the night, to make the good stuff and share it with the people in their community. How are you this week? Great to talk to you again. I hope for all my American friends, I hope you had a really good Thanksgiving. I hope you were able to do two things. Just bake an absolute ton and sell a ton and feed all the people early in the week. And then get some sleep, get some rest, enjoy some time with your family. Maybe have some leftovers from the bakery to eat for yourself. That's always a good thing. And just had a chance to kind of rest and reflect and enjoy the company of friends and family. I hope you did. I have a weird thing about American Thanksgiving because we've already had it in Canada because, of course, we're first. And it was great. And it was in October. And it was a lot of fun and a rather low-key affair. And then you get all of it, like in all the streams and all your emails and all the socials and all of that. In November. And then on that actual day, I feel a little weird. I feel a little, I don't know, lonely and left out. I have a very lonely day being Canadian on American Thanksgiving Thursday when just, my gosh, the hype train is so big. But then I stop myself and I have a cup of tea and I reflect and I think, nah, I got American friends here that are having a very nice day with their families and I'm going to celebrate them. So I hope you had fun. I hope you, didn't go too crazy on what the Friday and the Monday and all this when you're supposed to buy stuff and kept that under control. So there you go. Today on the show, my goodness, it's a different kind of a conversation, but it's a really, really good one. I'm talking with Lisa Arnold, who is a small business coach and marketing person, runs an agency and an organization and a community out of Springfield, Tennessee, called Small Business Startup. It's a really neat company. And I think what Lisa does and what her team does is something that would be really, really helpful for a lot of folks that listen to the show, for bakery owners of all sizes, but us independent bakery folk could really benefit from the kinds of things that Lisa's doing. And we talk about all of that coming up in a couple of minutes. So I'm excited for this talk, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. Before then, what's happening? Let's see. It's holiday craft season here in Victoria. Boy, they do it up here. Like every weekend from now until, Christmas anyways, it's craft fairs all over the city and all the towns around, like two or three or four a day. I'm serious. It's nonstop. There's weird, funky indie fairs. There's traditional old school Dickens fairs. There's all kinds of stuff. And we went to a few last weekend. It was great fun. I bought a fruitcake from a lady, and I have to say it was the best fruitcake I've ever had. I've actually texted her to say, like, where are you going to be? Because I'm out of fruitcake. I've already eaten it, and it was supposed to last till Christmas time. I'm a huge fruitcake fan. Like, those really dense, heavy like a brick, full of rum-soaked fruit and raisins and nuts and cherries and all of that. And I love it. And my mom used to make it. And she would always give me one every year, and I'd take my forever to eat it, and keep it in the freezer and take out a slice at a time. And Cindy can't stand them. She doesn't really like them, does not like the candied cherries at all. And so, yeah, I get it all for myself. I tried to pace myself with this fruitcake, but I couldn't, and it's almost all gone, and I need more because it's still November. And so I'm trying to find out where this lady, the little label said Earthly Delights, and that's a true name. And so I've texted her. I'm trying to find out what other fair she's doing because my sister's in town. And this weekend, we're going to go on a couple of craft fairs with her. I'm afraid she's missed the best ones, but we'll always discover something cool out here. And if I can find this Earthly Delights woman, I'm going to buy another fruitcake or maybe two, and I'll keep one and forget about it in the freezer. And then in the spring, I'll remember it's there and I'll have this huge celebration and I'll eat it then. Yeah, I don't know that they're particularly good for you. I think they're rather rich and decadent, which kind of, I guess, begs the question, because fruitcake isn't for everybody. And it's also not part of everyone's tradition. So I am really curious to know if fruitcake is part of your holiday tradition or not. And so why don't you, if you're up for it, fire me an email, Mark with a K at riseuppod.com, and let me know what's your fruitcake story. If fruitcake isn't your thing, what's your holiday baking story? What's the one thing that you cannot do without come the fall and winter holiday season? And I'd love to hear about that. I really would. I'm getting more and more nostalgic every year, it seems, and I get more nostalgic for my own childhood, and then I get more and more curious about what everyone else's childhood was like, because I know mine was maybe typical for Saskatchewan, but wasn't typical for all of the folks that I know these days. So drop me a line. Would love to hear from you. Okay, Lisa Arnold. This is going to be fun. You're really going to like this. So Lisa runs, she's the founder, and she runs a thing called Small Business Startup in Springfield, Tennessee. So tiny town, lots of small businesses, and she is kind of trying to help all of these businesses out from a strategy point of view, a marketing point of view, and is doing it in a way that's accessible for the very small businesses. Or she's trying to bring some real high-end skills and tools that you would usually pay, you know, big corporate-type fees for, but doing it up in a way that's accessible for small businesses, and which I think is awesome, absolutely amazing. Because when we had Orange Boot Bakery, there were lots of times I wanted to work with somebody, and I was sort of like, everybody I knew was way out of my price range being, you know, this small mom-and-pop shop bakery. So what are they doing differently in Springfield? And so I hope you get some ideas from Lisa through this talk. And I hope you also kind of get a picture in your mind of what you might want to find where you live in terms of help and advice and connection with other small business owners. All right, that's not giving too much away. I hope my excitement is coming out here, because this is a really good one. Here we go. Lisa Arnold from Small Business Startup in Springfield, Tennessee. So you're in Springfield?
I am. Where okay. I'm in Springfield, Tennessee, right where Hannah is.
Yeah.
Actually, right down the street from her old bakery.
I don't, all I know about Springfield, I know from The Simpsons. So that's cool.
Oh. Yes.
Very little.
Pretty accurate.
Actually. Yeah. I was checking on the map and it's like, oh man, the closest I've been to where you live is I've been to Akron, Ohio once. So it was only like an 8-hour drive away.
Yeah, right? It's still a little yeah, far away. Different. But yeah, you know, it's okay. Yeah, that makes it.
Although we did send our folks on a bus trip about 20 years ago down to Branson and then Nashville and Memphis, because they're like Grand Ole Opry and Elvis fans and stuff. Yay, so they loved it out that way for sure. That's they had a cool. Very, very good time. So yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's neat. I was super excited when Hannah was on a call with a bunch of us baker folk several months back. And she said, you know, when she was talking about the bakery and Grain and Honey and what she was going to do and stuff. And then she said, yeah, and I'm working with a coach. And I thought, well, that's neat, because like I've done in a different context, a tiny bit of coaching work on like online workshops and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was always like, how do you get those kind of services in the hands of small businesses? Right. You know, cause that's, you know, everybody I'm working with on those things are like, oh, I'm working for Tesla or I'm working for Microsoft or something. Right. And it's like, well, you know, and so when Hannah said that that's what you did, and then that, you know, it was a fit. I was like, cool. Let me into this. Let me understand this. You know, I want to learn more. So I was checking out your website, and you're doing all kinds of things. Like,
yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah. Can we talk about sort of the, I guess I'd love to learn sort of how do you, what's the breadth of what you're doing with yeah. small town startup? And then maybe I'm curious to know how that got rolling. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I'd be happy to. So we started in 2018. We absolutely just fell in love with this small town. My husband and I, we moved up here and we realized there weren't a lot of resources like there are in cities, right? So in Nashville, they have the Entrepreneur Center. They do a fantastic job with programming, with networking, all that stuff. Here we have the Chamber. They do a great job, but that's not their only job, right? Mm-hmm. Like they have to do tourism and they have to do industry recruitment and all these different things. So I kind of felt like small businesses really needed someone just for them in a small town. So we started doing just a little bit of classes here and there. I remember the first class was Instagram 101. And I thought to myself, if I sell 4 tickets to this thing, I'm going to be thrilled, right? And I put it on Eventbrite and I had 15 opening spots. And I was like, again, John, all I want, my husband, I was like, all I want is 4 tickets sold. It sold out within 24 hours. And wow. I was like, oh, we're onto something here. So I was working for a tech startup at the time. So I was, you know, just kind of like haphazardly posting classes and then they would sell out and it would be great. And we'd have a really great turnout, really great discussions. And I was like, you know, I think that there's something here. And so at the time we were teaching a lot of marketing courses because that's my background. And I, you know, eventually was being approached and people were saying, gosh, you know, your marketing courses are so great, but we don't have time to do that. Would you be willing to do it for us? And I always used to say initially, the last thing the world needs is another marketing agency. But turns out Springfield needed one, right? So we created it. And now we're serving nearly 50 clients, which is fantastic, just off the marketing agency. And then the next thing was, you know, this is all great, but I live rurally. I live right outside city limits. You know, we're in a small town of 18,000 people in the city of Springfield. And of those 18,000, a very small amount actually live in the city limits. So the next thing was, well, you know, where can I actually get internet to do this? And we found this incredible building on the square and we built out Springfield's first entrepreneur center that has a co-working space. We have incubators down on the first street level so people could test out their business ideas, their retail business ideas. And now we offer coaching and all this stuff. So we really say that we exist to grow small business in small town. And it was really just us following the market of what the market needed and providing that as our next service. And that's still what we're doing to this day.
Yeah. Well, and what were you doing before you moved to Springfield? You said you were like doing marketing work, I guess.
Sure. Yes.
What kind of work were you doing that then, you know, sort of like, you know, bringing from the big city to the small town?
Yeah. So prior to coming up with Small Town Startup, I actually have always worked in some type of business development, operations, or marketing. And I worked primarily for tech startups. My last job, I worked for a really incredible tech startup that was all about small business HR, which kind of gave me the heart for small business. Prior to that, I worked for a really large marketing agency, primarily focused on food brands. So I was the head of social media for companies like Cinnabon, Applebee's, Kellogg's, No Kid Hungry. So I was able to learn all of those different skills and then take them and say, okay, you know, obviously Applebee's and Cinnabon have some incredible marketing budgets, but how can we take some of the things that we were doing in those agencies and translate them into what it looks like for a small business? So we were able to really do that. And it's been phenomenal. So, you know, everything that I've done, I've kind of learned and have then turned it in and I've become a certified business coach and have gotten my MBA since to be able to train. And we have a full team now of people that are just really doing incredible things. And many of them are from here and they never thought that they could have a job like this. They thought they'd have to go to the big city for it.
Yeah, totally. Right. Like you get the folks that have sort of an aptitude or a desire for that kind of stuff, they tend to move away from the small towns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so sort of can you give you some examples of like the range of businesses that you work with? Like what's going on in Springfield that you're tapping into?
We have a massive business growth in Springfield. So when we started here, we had maybe 4 or 5 businesses on the square. We have dozens now that go down, which is phenomenal. A lot of them are small town startup graduates because we have an incubator program. So that's phenomenal. But we work with anyone from, you know, restaurants to boutiques to a lot of agriculture because we are in an agriculture community. So a lot of farm stores, you know, greenhouses, stuff like that. We also work with a lot of realtors. We work with, you know, people in the service industry. So it's just been a lot of fun. We work with a lot of nonprofits. So it's really funny because people be like, well, what industries do you work in? It's more like, well, we work in a perimeter of Robertson County, right?
Yeah.
And really whatever is in there. And our ultimate goal is just to be connectors. We're trying to, through our digital marketing agency, we're connecting our clients to their customers online. From our incubator space, we're connecting them with the opportunity to test out an idea. For the co-working space, we're connecting them, you know, with a great space to work. So that's really what we're focused on. And it's been really exciting.
Absolutely. Did things change? Or I guess, well, let's challenge an assumption. When I think of, you know, small town, small business, I'm thinking of you're serving the people in the small town or the surrounding area, mm-hmm. as opposed to like, you know, Cinnabon, where it's like, I'm going to get my stuff out internationally, right?
Everywhere.
So does your approach change when the people they're trying to reach are right next door, as opposed to like just going global?
1,000%.
Yeah.
Yes. And so there's tactics that we pull from, you know, Cinnabon's marketing, whatever, but we've come up with our own approach, our own framework. And it's really, the tagline of it is called serve before you sell, right? And the idea is that in small business and small community, it is so vitally important to be part of that community before you ever sell into it, right? We talk about community-driven bakeries. We talk about community-driven businesses. Those are community-driven because you are a part of the community. You didn't just come in to make the almighty dollar, right? So for us, when we're looking at digital marketing, it's not just digital marketing. It's what sponsorships are you doing for the kids' soccer ball? You know?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? What events are you going to support your neighboring businesses? Because if you want to come in, we've had clients before that we have had to say, hey, your approach is wrong and we're going to tell you why. And the reason why is because you're coming in as an outsider. No one knows you. And you immediately think that you're going to put a, you know, now open sign and everyone's going to come in droves. And that's not how small towns work. So you have to reverse engineer that, become part of the community, become something that people respect and trust, and they value you as a community member before they're ever going to shop with you. And so it's a little bit more slow than what people would love to have happen, which is you open your doors, you make your first $1 million, right? Like we all want that, but it's just, that's not how it works in small towns. So you have to be ready to invest not only the money, but the time to get that trust and credibility.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was talking a few months back with a couple in the Pacific Northwest, by where I am now, just on one of the islands between Vancouver Island and Washington there. And they moved there, and it was, and that's the whole story they told was, we want to be part of the community here first, because they get a lot of, you know, sort of second home kind of folks living on the island. That's very nice. And so their whole thing was, all right, I want to make sure that I'm contributing to where I'm calling home.
Yes.
First and foremost. And then, and, you know, and that really designed for them sort of how they built their bakery and what they do and who they work with and that kind of thing. It's so important. Well, and then the other one is sort of that I've met folks over the years that, you know, yeah, I've got, you know, 10,000 or 20,000 or 100,000 Instagram followers. I don't know, like none of them are from my town and none of them are coming in, but I'm extremely popular. To other bakers, you know,
and that's like, it's so interesting. And we talk about that all the time. It's so funny because we were just having this conversation, internally where it's like, I would give, you know, they always talk about like the first 1,000 true fans, right? I would give anything for 1,000 true fans versus 100,000 followers. Like, because those 1,000 true fans are going to spend money with you. They're going to spend time with you. They're going to tell their friends about you. Those 100,000 followers that just think you're a cool celebrity chef are going to, or baker, are going to, oh yeah, that's neat. I'll like it and I'll move on. But liking isn't a capital that we can use. You know, there's influence in it. But man, at the end of the day, if you're not driving sales, you've got a problem.
Totally. when we had our bakery in Saskatchewan, my wife and I, you know, I remember it was like, I would spend, I think it was like $300 a month for my bookkeeper, you know, to keep the books and the accountant and that kind of thing. And the thought of our business supporting another, like a coach for 300 or 500 or whatever, you know, spending that kind of money on another professional help to the bakery, as much as I wanted the advice, it just seemed like it was out of the picture. Like it wasn't going to happen. And Absolutely. And I'm curious for the folks that are just starting out there, it's sort of how do your clients make the leap to saying, yeah, this is worth investing in. Well, it's worth investing in, and I'm grateful to cut the check every month as opposed to, you know, like,
oh, I have to cut the check every month. We've actually flipped consulting on its head because I think that for the longest time, especially being in the tech startup world that I was in, there were those high powered, very expensive coaches, and they felt very, for lack of better words, it was a very exclusive thing, right? And in small towns, you can't be exclusive because that becomes cliquish, right? And it becomes political. And I didn't want that. I really wanted this to be the place that you could come if you had the dumbest question, and no one's going to tell you it's a dumb question. Because as small business owners, we are just subjected to so many things that we had no idea we were going to get into before we opened up our doors. So we were trying to, and we still every day are trying to create a solace for them, right? So when we look at small town startup and we look at our offerings, it really runs kind of on like a spectrum. And at the lowest end, we have classes that you can take for as low as $5 to $10. Sometimes they're even free, right? So if you're just getting started, you're part of that. We have a Facebook group of hundreds of people that can come in and ask really tough business questions. And we have certified business coaches in there to be like, oh yeah, I'll answer that for you real quick, right? Free, absolutely free. Then the next level, we have coaching, and coaching for us starts at $99. And my thought process was, I will make that money up on the other end with our digital marketing agency for people who can afford for someone to run their digital marketing agency. We'll make the money there, and we're never going to be a high profit business, and that's okay. My bills are paid. I'm able to pay my employees well, but most importantly, we're able to help sustain several small businesses at a time. Like I said, we have 50 people in the marketing agency. I think we're up to 60 or 70 co-working members in our co-working space. We can't keep our incubators. They're constantly rented. So it's really been this beautiful, thriving kind of thing. And so since we have so many little offerings, so many different revenue streams, we're able to keep the cost down and still have a pretty, you know, profitable business that we're all comfortable in. And it feels really good. And a lot of times people will be like, well, gosh, for that price, are you nonprofit? And I'm like, no, we're for profit. But the reason why we decided to kind of go that model is at the end of the day, the people that we're serving are our neighbors, you know, and if they're successful, we'll be successful and there will be more small businesses that we'll be able to serve. And it's just kind of a really beautiful, you know, symbiotic relationship.
Well, yeah. And if the town's thriving, you're thriving.
Exactly.
And if the town's not thriving, you got a problem. Yeah, you got a problem anyways. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. It's the rising tide kind of thing that does it. Yeah. Is there in Springfield, is there sort of like an established like industry or the big, you know, who are the big businesses in Springfield, I guess, that you're all working in and around?
Absolutely. So industry is obviously big. We have a lot of manufacturing around here. Agriculture is absolutely huge for us. So going back to industry, Electrolux has a huge headquarters here. Then Lowe's Distribution Center is also massive here. And that's kind of our, you know, manufacturing jobs. Then we have the agriculture. There are people that are, you know, just generation upon generational farmers doing beautiful work and really creating the next generation. What I love is seeing a lot of new farm stores pop up. So these are generations old farming land that finally they're like, you know, we're also going to make a retail side of this so we don't have to wholesale it anymore. And I just think that is so cool. So we have a lot of those popping up and they're all very well supported. And then we have since we are, you know, about 35, 40 minutes away from Nashville, Tennessee, which is booming, we are seeing a lot of development up here now. So we're seeing a lot of our old school developers. These are people that have been here since like 1904. G.S. Moore & Son is one of them, who has been restoring, renovating, preserving a lot of the downtown area. We have new people coming in with huge housing developments. I believe in the last year, we've annexed in 1,500 rooftops. To
Holy crow.
So it is wild. So we have a lot of development happening there too. And those are kind of the major things. We have a local hospital, which does provide a lot of employment here as well. But yeah, that's kind of the major industry that we have going on, other than the small businesses, which is a huge backbone to us as well.
Sure, sure. Yeah. It's sort of the, how does everybody, you know, make the money to go to the boutiques? Yep. That are doing this stuff, right? Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that we're always looking at, right? Because the bottom line is, if you're always attracting, which, you know, I grew up blue collar, right? And that was like middle income, you know, mid income, everything is great, middle America. If you are only bringing those jobs in, it's really hard to support a lot of small businesses because there's a lot of, or a lack of discretionary income, right? Especially if folks are living paycheck to paycheck. And that is something that we have occasionally struggled with here, especially with businesses that are very much the luxury brand or something that is super discretionary. So we always talk to people about that. Like, do you know that your market is here, right? Are you aware of that? And I think it's really important, even if you have a great dream, you have a great business model and whatever, if you haven't tested it in the market, to know if the market actually needs it, like that, you're missing a very key step. And that's actually why we started our incubators, was for people to test it, have 6 months of testing it, really understand if it works before they go and sign that 5-year lease. And now they're stuck in this like terrible cycle, right? I would rather them, this sounds horrible, I would rather them fail under my roof and be good and be like, okay, I gave it my all. And, you know, they get all the resources. We put them through a program when they're in there, then fail year one of a 10-year lease.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah.
So yeah, I'd rather them fail and lose a little bit of money than fail and lose a lot.
Well, and I know from the bakery side, that's the big one all the time, because the investment costs are so large to get going. And so once you exhaust sort of the home baker, scale and what the rules are for that, and you know maybe you can go to a rented kitchen, but yeah, you know, you have a couple of good market seasons, yeah, and then that next step is such a big step, and it brings a whole bunch of pressures and that kind of thing.
So much pressure.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting too, because we see a lot of that from home-based businesses going into, you know, a larger market. I always like to ask people, and I know it feels weird being someone who's so driven to bring new business to town, but it's like, do you really want this? Do you really want to take that next step? Because it's really hard to go back once you take that next step, right? And it's so funny, because I'm sure like you own business, I own business, like, there are days when I dream of a simpler time, you know, oh my God, like I really had it made and I had no idea, you know? So we always really try to like walk them through that. Our job is to be realistic and to be tactical with them. So I'm not going to be, you know, you go to a conference and you feel like all jazzed up when you leave that conference. And then you walk out and you're like, wait, what am I supposed to do? I just feel like a lot of emotion. You know, our job is not to do that. Our job is to be extremely tactical. You walk out, you know exactly the next steps that you need to take. So we're really honest with them about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's kind of begs the question of, with all of the business sort of growth that's happening in Springfield and all of the people that have been part or that you've touched, I guess, through the last 4 or 5 years, what about sort of the peer-to-peer to support? And I saw a little bit of mention of different communities of interest in that you facilitate. How's that working?
Oh, I love it. That's my favorite part of the job. So when we talked about earlier, I had mentioned we're a connector, right? And so we are truly connectors. So we just do some of the coolest things. And I sound like I'm being super braggy, but this is my favorite part. My favorite part is connecting two businesses together that I know will have an incredible partnership, right? So this is a really great story, and it has to do with a tea shop that was in our space. They decided to retire. This was a beloved tea shop. Okay. Everyone has a memory of going there as a little kid with a tiara. Like, this is the tea shop. And so they closed, and it was heartbreaking to the community. Now, across the street from where the tea shop was a business called Main Street Boutique. And it was just very sweet women's boutique, clothing, gifts, decor. So anyways, last Mother's Day, we came up with the idea. We do the marketing for the boutique. We said, Donna, who owns the boutique, Donna, what if we were to bring back Burdette's Tea Shop one day only on Mother's Day weekend in your four walls? And we got with Sandy, who owned Burdette's. And what if she were to provide like the number one thing, which happened to be ham and cheese scones. Everyone loved the ham and cheese scones. So we did it. And we brought it back. It was this amazing partnership. And they, that morning, had a line. It was like Chick-fil-A. They had a line circling around the block for small business, right? And like, that's huge. Cause like Chick-fil-A is corporate. Like, and everyone, you know, freaks out over Chick-fil-A. And it's like, guys, there's people doing really great things in your community that are also your neighbors. Like, come hang out with them for a minute. And they did. And that was really cool. So that's a really good story of it, but we do it every single day. So in that Facebook group, there's opportunity to connect with one another. In the co-working space, I remember during COVID especially, we had a lot of tech people here that their offices in Nashville had been closed down. They needed somewhere to work because they moved to Springfield because it's rural, but now they don't have internet, right? So I remember we have dedicated desks. So you could buy a desk in a room. It's kind of like having an office with roommates. And just happenstance, a guy from TikTok, a guy from Google, and a guy from Amazon were all in the same room.
This sounds like you got a punchline coming up.
Oh, I know, right? Like they all walk into a bar. None of them knew each other. Within about a month, they're all going out to lunch at the same time. They're all coming back. They're all talking about on Mondays how they all got together on Saturdays and did like smoked some meat and did whatever, you know? And it's just like, it was very sweet to see that like these friendships budded from them being in our co-working space. On top of that, we do manufacture connections as well through, we do pitch nights. So people can come and pitch a business idea, see if it might be something the community wants. We'll get 40 or 50 people in for that. We do happy hours at our local brewery. So we're partnered with them, BS Brewworks, and we'll get 50 or 60 people out to that. And we'll bring in a local small business owner to tell their story, maybe a big challenge that they've overcome. We always try to talk about, sounds horrible, the negative, because I could tell you all the cool things that we've done all day long, but your viewers or your listeners aren't going to learn anything from that. They're going to learn from, you know, some of my biggest fail points. And so that's kind of what we really try to focus on. So we can all learn and we can all like overstep those potholes. So we're not all falling in the same ones.
Sure. Sure. Exactly. And if you're kind of open and vulnerable a little bit and say, hey, this is something that isn't working or something I'm struggling with.
Yeah.
You're going to find a lot more in common with folks than you think, right?
Oh, 100%.
Like that's I think the, you know, small business, well, businesses can be so isolating, right?
Yes.
Like just that you think it's all on you. It's all your problem. You got to own 100% of it all the time, right?
And just Lonely that, Island.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on Lonely Island. And it's just so interesting too, because I think that even if you have a team, you still feel like you're on Lonely Island because you don't want to burden them with challenges that you're facing because you're the person who decided to face them, right? And so it's really interesting to see business owners connect with one another in a really special way because they are able to open up to one another and they do understand that. And I think that honestly, that's probably one of the most valuable things is just being able to connect people to one another and letting them kind of vent and have that community, because without it, man, this journey is not worth it if you don't have people that you could talk to.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I love what you're doing. From my perspective, I said, well, okay, I want to do what you're doing, but with call it like an industry group. Okay. I want to work with bakery owners. And so go broad in that respect.
Yeah. You
know, but narrow with sort of the people that I can connect with, but you're doing it sort of flip it on its side and say, okay, all the people in this circle where you live and work and do your thing, we're going to get you all together. And it sounds amazing. Like it really does sound like, because the one thing I can't do cheaply is have an in-person event with all with all the people. Because it's like we're all over the place. Whereas, you know, that advantage, I want to come to one of those events for sure. Like, it's just like the attraction is so huge to get out and do that, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing for us too is like, well, you have folks that are just so passionate about their bakeries and their and what they provide to the community. I think when you look at my group, it's like they're very passionate about Robertson County and growing Robertson County. And it's kind of cool because the one thing that you have is like, you know, you're not going to have two bakeries side by side normally, right? So it's really cool because these bakers could all talk to each other. And then what we've done is we've neutralized any competition too, because at the end of the day, we're all just trying to make it for Springfield. We're all just trying to make it for Robertson County. And if I succeed, you succeed. So it really does kind of break down that barrier or those walls against one another, which is pretty neat.
Well, and it's good for Springfield if there's two or three really good bakeries as well, right? Oh, like it's, you know,
good for all of us.
if we all go to the one place, that's, you know.
Yeah.
I'm curious though about a couple of things still, but I'm just like all these ideas, but how were you embraced, or what's your relationship with sort of the old guard? You mentioned the Chamber of Commerce earlier and that kind of thing. And I could imagine one scenario where it's like, oh, you know, this young woman comes from the big city, got all these ideas, right?
That's the way I thought it was going to go. I was a little nervous, but it was really funny because the day that I met with the chamber and told them this idea, I have never been more welcomed. And it was so interesting because it could have gone one of two ways. It could have been like, oh, we've been doing this entire time. This is something that's in our programming, like get out, you know, or well, oh yeah, yeah. Let us like, you know, why don't you just take this little piece? Instead, they immediately were like, you're an enrichment partner to the chamber. We will promote you fully. You take it on. You're going to be able to do it better than we ever could because we have all these other responsibilities. So why don't we partner together and do it? And so they host all of their downtown merchant meetings at Small Town Startup. They do a bunch of events for us. They're at every single one of our happy hours. They are always promoting our stuff. They are the most phenomenal partner. So we are partnered with them and we're partnered with the Robertson County Economic Development Board as well, equally as phenomenal. And, you know, it's interesting because like I often think to myself, maybe I've judged it wrong because there's also other chambers regionally that have reached out and want to partner. And I really love that. I think that's really cool. And of course, we broached the idea of licensing what we do, of franchising what we do, or at least, you know, bringing in other locations. And we do have a few others. And it is a grab bag, right? Like, so there's some chambers that absolutely love us and welcome us with open arms. There are others that I think are a little hesitant because it's always been done a certain way. And we're coming in and we're really flipping things upside down. But we're not here to like, you know, cut anyone out or to do anything like that. We're only here to enhance the community. So if they want to join in, they're more than welcome to, and we will embrace that with open arms.
Yeah. Well, because I think any, you know, forward thinking Chamber of Commerce is going to know the needs there and it's going to put it on their strategic plan and is not going to be able to fund it or is if at best at, you know, I'm guessing the majority is sitting there saying, how can I fund this? I know it's needed. How can I fund it? And then, you come along, it's like, hooray, someone's got the energy and going to invest time and effort and money into doing it.
Yeah.
Hooray. Check that off. You know, it's check easier it to partner. Yeah. You know, but that initial thing, oh, I really wanted to do it, you know, and so if you can get over that, like, it's awesome. And even the way, you know, you mentioned briefly just about expanding to other places and it's like, it's like, how do you do that in a way that, because it's like, there's a lot of small towns and a lot of small towns could benefit from your experiences and stuff. And how do you do that? I guess in a way that is tried and tested and bring the best practices, but is unique to that town and what they need, I guess, is finding that balance must be fun.
I love that you're asking this question because I'll tell you, I've spent many sleepless nights trying to figure it out. Here's the answer. I can tell you now. It only took me 5 years. The answer is it's not me. I have to find the Lisa in that town that has fallen in love with Gallatin, Tennessee, that has fallen in love with Mineral Wells, Texas, that has fallen in love with Binghamton, New York, or wherever it may be. And then I equip them with the tools that they need to grow their small town, because I will never love those cities the way that I love Springfield. And it is very, very honest and clear to people that I won't. Right. And it goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, like that genuineness to help and to want to be a part of the community and to serve before you sell. I can't genuinely do that only showing up at a town once a month and being like, hi, I'm here to collect my check, you know? So that's not going to work. But what I can do is I can find someone who is super passionate about helping their small town and being like, hey, look, don't reinvent the wheel. I've already done it all. I'm going to hand you this package and it's all yours. So we started that with the idea of franchising for a while. Didn't love it, because again, what I'm doing in Springfield isn't necessarily what you need to do where you are, right? Like, your small town might not need all of the services that we provide in these four walls. So now it's gotten into a licensing deal where you can pick and choose what you want and what you need. You want to take classes, you know, and teach those. Great. You want to learn how to do a co-working space? I'm going to teach you how to do a co-working space. You want to learn how to do a small marketing agency? I'll teach you how to do that. Because at the end of the day, if we can get all these small towns to have one champion, one advocate for them that isn't tied to the city, that isn't tied to the chamber, that isn't tied to the economic development board, that's a little bit independent, then we can make all of these folks work together. And I think that that's a really huge opportunity for small business.
Yeah. And are you having fun finding and then nurturing those champions along in the other places? Is that giving you some joy?
Oh, I love it. So it's kind of cool, because we're going back to talking about Lonely Island, right? I finally don't feel like that, because I feel like I found my peers now, you know, and I'm a small business owner. So I definitely have my peers from that perspective, because I've literally built a company around finding them. But then also finding those small town champions, like, it's a lot of work. And so I don't necessarily fit in with the economic development people, because they have very like strict kind of like, this is how we do it. And I'm doing something that's not really ever been done, you know, like in this perspective, in this town. I'm sure it's been done in other places, but it makes it a little bit lonely when you're the first. Mm-hmm. So finding people who are like, yeah, I want to do this. Like, these are the things that I've done for my small town. These are the things I've done for my small community. And it's like, gosh, that's so cool. Like, and just being able to share those ideas has definitely made me feel like there are other people like me out there, which is really cool.
Yeah. Because, well, and that sounds an awful lot like, you know, you're doing it sort of from the grassroots up. Yeah. And then, you know, the big guys have got their thing from the very top down. Yeah. And yeah, there's a big gap. So, a lot of the time, right? You know,
yes.
Yeah, it happens in food a lot. Yes. I can relate to that for sure. Yeah, you know, and even the organizations that are geared towards liaising up, you know, to like big government and big industry.
Oh, yeah,
it's tough to then at the same time I'm going to be everything I want to be for the grassroots as well. It's a challenge. My buddy Martin's working that balance right now with some baking stuff in town or in Canada. And it's, you know, I know it's a lot of work, because that's a big gap sometimes. Yeah.
Huge. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got to ask this one, because I'm really curious to get back to the folks in Springfield and the businesses and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, or are there any sort of common, call them blind spots that you notice that come up again and again? I guess what's sort of a couple of those that it's like, yeah, it's more than likely this is what's going on in people's heads. Yeah.
So there's two actually that I can think of right away. One, I think, is that people, especially with small business owners that are just starting out, there is a lack of testing the market first. And there's a big, like, let's dive right in, right? Like, let's do it. And it's like, well, are you sure that there's a need in this community for it? Just because it's not here doesn't mean that the community needs it. So doing that user research, that's really big. The other thing goes back to, and I don't mean to harp on it, but it's the immediate, I'm going to open the doors and it's immediately going to be successful. And then they're extremely, you know, hurt when they open the doors and it's crickets, you know, but they're just, there's there is a timeline to everything. And you really have to think about that timeline when you're first opening a small business in a small town, that it takes time for people to learn about you. It takes time for them to trust you. People will not do business with people that they don't trust. So if they don't know you, they can't trust you.
Yep.
So that's the big thing. And I told them, you know, the biggest and easiest way to scale trust is through social media. Go on, go live, get on podcasts, talk to other people, go meet your neighbor, go walk across the street and shake their hand and let them know that you're there. Just all of those old school things that we were taught by our parents and our grandparents to do. It's so vitally important in a small town. And I think those who are coming from the big city to find respite from the big city, and we are seeing, you know, that movement, have to remember that, like, what you became hardened into in a large city, that doesn't, if you're going to get milk, you're spending 20 minutes talking to the cashier here. And like, that's okay. You know, like, you have to be okay with that, you know. And me being from New York originally, like, I wasn't okay with that at first. And I have learned to become okay with that. I've learned that when I go somewhere, I am baking in an extra 10 minutes to have those cordial conversations, you know, and that's important.
Oh, I'm grinning so much because when we moved from Saskatchewan out to Vancouver Island here, that was how I framed the discomfort with settling in a new city, because we had moved. Yeah. And it's like, I go to get groceries and I don't talk to anybody. Like, what's going on? You know, like, and then COVID hit and you couldn't talk to anybody and everything was behind glass and stuff. And it was like, it was the hardest thing to not have anyone to say hi to on the walk to and from the shop. Right. So yes. I totally get what you're saying. You know? Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, and that thing about really knowing is the demand going to be there and be sustainable. You know, it comes up with us in the bakery world, like, two ways, because you can do all that stuff on launch. And it's always that second week that's where your heart drops, because all your friends come to see what you did
right
first week. And then it's like, okay, now who's coming the second time? And that, yes. And that's scary business for sure.
That's real. That's real life, yeah. Right? Like, I think about it all the time, and I always tell them, like, make sure that you can go past the novelty effect.
Yes.
Yeah. Of like, this is brand new and this is exciting, but like, is it something that's sustainable? And we have all these kind of programs that we make them run their business model through to make sure that it could be sustainable. But of course, all you're doing through these programs is just mitigating risk. Like, opening a business is inherently risky. Opening a business in a small town with a limited population is extremely risky. And so, you know, when they say that small business owners are heroes, like, I agree with them, because I just think, like, you wouldn't make this choice being a super rational person who's like, you know, I'm going to do A, B, C, and D. My husband works in the corporate world. He loves the corporate world, right? Like, he loves the process. He loves documentation. He loves all this. He'll hear my stories and he'll, like, I just watch him look on in horror when I'm like, and then this happened and then this blew up and then I went to tear this fire. And he's like, how do you survive? Like, what are you doing? You know? And I thrive in that environment. And so I think you have to be just slightly unhinged to absolutely love small business. Because you cannot predict it. You can do all that you can to mitigate risk, but you have to make sure that you do the homework.
But that's exactly right. What I see you doing and saying is you're firmly in the middle between, say, your husband, that it's like, yeah, it's a 5-year plan, and I can, you know, you get 3 years to talk about it and think about it and then maybe, yeah, do something, and I'm going to hit, yeah, next year's budget. Oh, geez, I'm getting hives again.
I know. Yeah. I know.
With the budget cycle and all that.
Yeah. And I'm like, what's that like?
Yeah. You know, and I have got this memory of having to write the my weekly status reports, trying to make it sound like I'd done something this week, you know. but then at the other extreme, it's like, it's going to work. And you just close your eyes and you run, you know, and that's no good either. And it's, yeah, like, you're in the middle, yeah, saying, let's put some structure around this. Let's,
exactly, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I know I'm going to jump. When am I building the parachute?
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing. And I would prefer for you to build the parachute with me while you're still on the cliff. but you know, I know some people that build it on the way down, and sometimes it works, right? Like, I can't fault them for that, because some people really thrive in chaos, but
just because it worked once doesn't mean it's the way to do it, right?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. I just want you to stay on stable ground until you're ready. And you know, so that's a big thing for us here.
Yeah. Oh, well, what a thrill. I'm so glad we got to meet up here and chat. I'm really glad we talked, because I really I get the sense of sort of the energy, and I can feel a little bit of what it must be like to be one of the folks that's connected in, or a client of, or touched by small town startup and by you and your team. And it's like, I just want that for everybody that I talk to. I want every group that I talk to be able to have that network that you can connect with and that you can actually do in reality as well as, you know, virtually or whatever. So, So thanks for
follow us on social media. Yeah. Our Facebook group, and you can hang out with us there. We have people all over the United States in that group.
Right on. Well, I really appreciate this. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. I'm so glad. I've been trying to talk to Lisa for months. Glad we finally got to get on Zoom and have this conversation. I am pretty certain that you got two or three really neat ideas out of this talk. I hope so. It's kind of my wish and my hope that every small town that has a small bakery or two, or an independent bakery or two to support the community and to feed the community, also has kind of things, has a place like Lisa's building for the business owners to get together and talk things through and work things out and get ideas and share ideas and lift up the town some. You know, we all get hit by, you know, the big chains and the big consolidations and that kind of thing, and it can be a real challenge. It's good to know that you're not alone, even in your own community. And it's good to know that, you know, all these small businesses aren't really competing with each other. I think you're all competing. We're all competing. If we're competing with anybody, we're competing against a common enemy. And that's just this standard, bland, homogenous, frickin' plainness of the chains. You know, I'm not a fan of the chains. even, you know, big old Amazon, you know, used to be, oh, I could get anything I want on Amazon. And now it's just like, man, you got to weed through a lot of junk to get to the good stuff. And what independent bakeries, independent businesses do is they say, hey, here's the good stuff right here. You know, I'm not going to have a billion products for you, but what I do have is going to be awesome. And I love that. That's why I like small bakeries. So I hope you enjoyed this chat. I really did. I hope you got a lot out of it. There's links to all of Lisa's information in the show notes along with this podcast. So if you're in her area and you want to reach out to her, honestly. And if you want some advice about how to get this started up in where you live, reach out to her that way as well, for sure. Okay, until next week, where I've got another show with a dear friend of mine coming up. You're really going to like it. Have a great week. Work hard. Bake lots. Stay safe. Happy baking. Bye-bye.